Lime, duh.
All right, let's do it. Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast / video podcast this week. I'm your host, Dan Black, the Comedians of Wrestling heavyweight champion of the world. And I'm coming at you this week during quarantine mania. We are in weird times, stressful times. Check out my stress pimple. But yeah, no, seriously, I hope everybody's staying safe. I hope you're staying inside. I hope your loved ones are doing well and you're not going stir crazy from all of this global pandemonium. I don't know, whatever you want to call it. Look, been thinking about the podcast and how this all relates to this podcast. I've always joked that this podcast is more than a podcast, less than a lifestyle. But what it definitely is it definitely is a community or a community, if you will. And I think during this time of social distancing, it's important for us to keep that just physically. We could be social as much as we want through all this technology. So at Cal, I'm going to be doing a bunch of things that I've wanted to do in a long, for a long time. I see this as an opportunity for this podcast to make more content and have our passion for what we do come through even more. We're going to be putting out more Patreon bonus episodes. I started a Twitch stream, twitch.tv/DanBlackAttack. I'm going to be going live on there a bunch. The first time I'm going to be going is Wednesday, which is March 18th, 2020. I'm going to be going live 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for AEW and NXT, the Wednesday Night Wars, with no audience. I'm going to post a full schedule coming up about when we're going to be going live, and we're going to we've already started old pay-per-view network watch-along parties. We're going to have more movie dissection episodes. I'm going to be streaming 2K20 soon. I'm figuring it all out. I'm buying equipment. So, we're going to be upping our operations, and if you feel inclined to help the podcast out during this time, if you can do it, that would be great. Join the Patreon. There'll be other ways to donate and help out. But if you can't, because I know these are stressful, crazy times, we're going to be here for you to relieve some of that anxiety you're feeling, which is, you know, what we do. So remember, here is the first video podcast we're doing. They'll still be available on the main feed. I apologize for some of the audio and some of the technical difficulties during it. We're still getting our footing during this crazy time. We don't have our studio. I'm using some new equipment and this and that. You understand it. You got it. Point is that we're here for you. We're going to be still doing this podcast. We're going to still be going strong. And before the episode starts, featuring my two best friends, Arlen Marmel and Jason Jabiro, the Salami Bros, I want to thank a couple people already who have helped out the podcast in all kinds of different ways, not just monetarily, giving me advice on how to do all this, deal with all this technology and everything. And so you guys, your Patroniacs, the Jabroniacs, you guys make this podcast what it is. I can't tell you how much it means to me just to have you guys reach out and offer your talents to this podcast. I mean, look at this. From one of our listeners, Steve Akhmoudi, who I want to thank. And I also want to thank Ben Axelrad, Susan Lloyd, Austin Bell, Glenn Smith, Steve Akhmoudi, I already said, Phil Passapani, Ross Cromaldi. You guys have all been essential in this transition into all the stuff we're going to do. So a schedule coming up of what we're going to be doing, more watch parties, more gaming, and tell me what you want. We're figuring it out as we go. But enjoy this first ever video podcast episode, which are also still available on the regular feed. And follow our Twitch channel, rate us 5 stars. That stuff, it's free. It helps us out a bunch. Follow twitch.tv/DanBlackAttack. Rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast, and hey, cheers up. Kisses. Twitch, Wednesday night, baby. All right, so look, I have some very special guests in not in studio across the country, and quarantine mania continues. Right now, joining me is I believe his nickname is the Crown Jew, the the tech 100,000 there, Arlen Marmel. What is up?
Listen, I'm not going to confirm or deny my net worth, but I'm just going to say that that was inaccurate.
The tech 100.
It was either too high or too low.
No, I don't know. It was just, you know, it's always millionaire or billionaire. So what about the tech 100,000 there? What
up? Let me put it this way. I'm a billionaire that should be a trillionaire.
Yeah, yeah. Well, are you cutting a pipe bomb? This is a pipe bomb right now.
You're Arlen, actually, you're a millionaire that should have hair.
That is true. And you heard him here. Shebs, what's your nickname? Do you have a cow nickname?
I mean, as of I was at the inaugural Twitch stream the other day that I was on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
I'm curious about your pronunciation of inaugural.
Inaugural.
He doesn't think it's valid. That's how Israelis say inaugural.
And that's how true player pimps get down with it. So during the inaugural Twitch stream, it has been revealed that – and Arlen, by the way, how long did it take Dan to set this thing up?
30
Too
minutes.
Long. Too I long. Mean, all right. So on the Twitch, him and Aaron were having a lot of tech kerfuffles, and then I show up for 30 seconds, and I worked out all the kinks like live while we were doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you told me. You're the kink master.
So then I became the kink master. I also am known as
– you heard it here. He is now officially the kink master.
I am also the needle mover, because just by merit of joining this Twitch stream, the numbers went through the roof. I moved the needle. I mastered the kinks. And then I also hashtag compassionate lover, considerate roommate, good friend.
This is,
I think you're none of those things, but, true or false, the kink master sounds like a failed WWE gimmick from the mid-90s.
No, it sounds like a sex gimp. Like, it sounds like somebody you'd find in Zed's basement in Pulp Fiction.
Sure. Love it.
Well, okay, guys. So like I said, we're going to be discussing the fate of Calmania 2 on the Twitch stream on Wednesday night, the NXT AEW live Twitch stream at twitch.tv/DanBlackAttack. And I'll be directly addressing Adam Letterman for his attack on Hassan. I will say the number one contender, Hassan. I will say, you know, having you guys here, I'll say that Hassan, I don't know if you guys knew this, but Hassan is okay. He's very badly injured, has a cracked orbital, which is a common MMA injury. So we're getting more information about that, but he's out of the hospital. He's home. He's, you know, I can talk to him. He's doing all right, all things considered. Now, with you guys here, I feel like I kind of, you know, you guys are, I mean, you guys both know Adam Letterman super well. And you guys kind of, you know, you know the Hassan situation. Do you have any words to say about that? And then, Jason, I'll have a question for you in a second.
Well, Arlen, you're best friends since childhood, since you grew up, has been Adam Letterman. You probably more than anyone in the world knows him intimately.
Right. And yeah. Adam, for people who don't know Adam Letterman, he did submit to the Cow Title Shot Challenge, and he submitted. I took him under deep consideration. He was basically the runner up of it. And, but Hassan ultimately was the better pick, and I went with Hassan, and Adam Letterman did not take that lightly. And he attacked Hassan in SiriusXM Studios.
Yeah. And I barely got out of there. No one even asked me how I'm doing. It's disgusting. It's insulting, honestly.
Is that how you see it? Because a lot of people, I mean, we'll get back to Arlen, but while we're going into it, a lot of people have been saying, Shebs, that it was kind of, it's the second time that a beatdown from Letterman's happened that you've came out unscathed.
So you're saying people are upset because twice that they know about something really bad was happening, and I made sure that I didn't get affected by it. Let me tell you something. I'm not going to get affected by Corona. I'm not affected by the stock market going down. My whole livelihood is predicated upon not being affected by bad shit that hits other people. So, yeah, I see bad things coming. I go the other way. I got to protect number one. I didn't orchestrate anything. All I did was I saw a bullet in a China shop and I said, oh, fuck, here comes Letterman. I know what this is about. I had no idea how he got in the building. But once those fucking punches came raining down, I said, time for me to get the hell out of there. And let me tell you something. For all the people who question my loyalty to the podcast, I have one thing to say. Those who question my loyalty, what have you done for the podcast? What have you ever brought to the podcast? I'm looking at, I don't know, every single person in the Facebook group. Name one person who's done more for this show than me. Dan, I know a lot of people don't know in front of the camera, but behind the scenes, name one person who's actually helping you with this thing more than I am. I give more blood, sweat, and tears than anyone else, even terrible Tulo, even your co-hosts, and by your co-hosts, I mean your backup co-hosts, because I'm not there all the time. No one does more than I do for the show. No one is more loyal to the show. You know it.
Yeah, no, dude, that is 100%. That is 100% true. But when you, I'm just saying, when you see the video, you know, I think about how, if I was in that situation and someone who came in like an Adam Letterman and in front of your face starts attacking an innocent man like that, and you have the positioning to maybe pull him off or at least say anything, you were pretty quiet. It sounded like you got right out of Dodge. I don't know. It's a little. I don't know. It's a little interesting to me. No? Suspect?
Let me tell you something.
Is that at least an understandable criticism, Shebs?
Yeah, look, again, I don't know what else I need to say. When things look dicey, Shebs makes nicey. I get out. I take care of myself. That's it. I mean, I'm all sorry. Right. What was I supposed to... try to stop this attack. Letterman's a bigger man. Hassan's bigger than both of us. He should be able to handle Letterman easily. He saw him too. Things got heated, and I said, look, I'm too important to this show. I'm too important to you, Dan. I'm too important to risk injury. I got to make sure Calmania happens.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
I want to defend two people right now. The first one is Shebs, and that's rare. But I'm going to defend him because I agree that – Hassan should be able to handle himself. I mean, you got two guys in the heavyweight division here. They don't need special assistance. He doesn't need a defender. He doesn't need an advocate. Letterman can handle his business, and Hassan should be able to handle his as well. If you truly believe he's the number one contender and he deserves what you've granted him, then he should be able to handle himself inside the ring and outside the ring. And I don't think that's Sheb's responsibility.
That's the most Jersey response I've ever heard.
It's a Jersey response? I mean, we're talking about a heavyweight bout here.
He was in the middle of an interview over on the podcast at SiriusXM, okay? It wasn't like he was in the ring and Letterman didn't say, hey, Hassan, let's do this. And this business really had nothing to do with Letterman, frankly.
Keep your head on a swivel, man, at all times.
I mean, look, it is.
Let me ask you a question. If you walk down the street and get hit by a car, is that Sheb's fault?
No.
No.
It's not.
Oh, all right. Look, all I can say is, Shebs, you make a great point. You're my best friend for God knows how long, basically my brother, and you do help this podcast in ways people don't even know.
And by the way, I don't care if they don't know because you know.
Yeah, and you handle your business the way you handle your business. That's almost none of my business in a way.
This conversation started, though, because you asked me about Letterman. And now I want to defend Letterman because
that's
my ride or die guy. And I will tell you right now, there is no one out there that I trust more to handle their business than Adam Letterman. And I think you made a grave mistake, Dan, by choosing Hassan. I mean, and I'm not saying that's not a threat.
Come on. Hassan was the obvious. Hassan, bro. He was the – did you see the guy? He was a great choice.
Look, I saw him get his ass kicked by Letterman, and I also saw Letterman put up a formidable fight against you and handle his business. And so I don't think it's quite as open and shut as you're making it, Dan. And at the end of the day, forget about Letterman's capabilities in the ring. Letterman outside the ring is a killer, as evidenced by his behavior here. And he is clever. He is stealthy. He gets it done. He gets the job done.
I just
think you.
All right.
What's shocking about it?
I mean, listen. I hear your.
You know me, and I know Letterman. That's it. I got to come correct here on this podcast.
Wow. All right.
Well, but also to be fair, just to put things in perspective, Dan, I mean, look, Letterman, I don't know if he was going to try to lay a finger on me or not, but he didn't. I got out of there unscathed. He hasn't hurt you. He hasn't hurt Arlen. He's really done nothing despicable except take out somebody that was in the way of the top
supposed number one contender. And to me, that then says there's a new number one contender, baby.
Yeah, but he's also saying that online, he's saying things that, you know, this is not the end of it, and he's going on and on. And
But look, honestly,
you guys see it different. You see it differently. Like, I think that if Adam Letterman wanted back in the title picture, then that's one conversation we could have had. All right.
I think he tried to have that conversation with you.
He tried to get back in your way. You said put the challenge out. He answered the challenge. Cut a great promo. By the way, I don't even know what's my favorite promo. I'm not saying it was the best, but he tried to do it the way you wanted it done. You know, I think Joe Kibler had a great promo. I think
incredible promo from him.
You know, loved what I saw at a Jerk Mills. There's just so many great and so many other ones that we don't even need to mention here right now. But Hassan's was. Look, I know what you dug about it. I mean, he came with respect, and it was like a responsible era type challenger. Like, I think that you got really wrapped up in this responsible era, and he was like the only one who was like nice and not talking shit. And, you know, he is a pretty responsible guy. He's made some great changes in his life, got really big and strong and everything like that. However, as far as putting asses in seats, I mean, I think Letterman's done you a service. Well, I think he's reignited the best –
he's saying I got wrapped up in the responsible era. Let me tell you about the era of responsibility. I would just like to say that all I was in that respect is ahead of the curve. I mean, we're truly living in the responsible era right now.
Dan is falling in love with his own booking. That's what's going on here. Okay, this guy is in love with his own booking.
I feel like listen, let's move on and talk about some wrestling stuff. I think we're at the first place and my situation, I will address Adam Letterman directly on my Twitch stream tomorrow night, twitch.tv/DanBlackAttack. During AEW and NXT starting at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you guys have more to say there, you can pop in on that Twitch stream. But I think I'd like to move and discuss Calmania's sister show, WrestleMania, which has now officially been moved to the Performance Center with kind of a wrinkle. It'll be only essential personnel there, and it will still happen on April 5th. But some rumors reporting, and Arlen, I don't know if you even saw this, that they're really going to do it June 5th in Madison Square Garden. And what are you guys thinking? What are your thoughts?
I mean, dude, it's wrestling, man. Who gives a fuck about rumors? It's all rumors. That's clearly bullshit. They're doing it in the performance.
There is a lot of misinformation floating around in the time of coronavirus. The most deadly to our potential health being about WrestleMania, obviously.
Right.
And I think we need to keep an eye on what's real, what we've been told. And what we've been told is that WrestleMania will happen as scheduled in the Performance Center. Now, I have read a lot of reports about, some kind of disconnect internally, which makes sense. Because, look, if you just look at the facts, doing it in the Performance Center, it solves a few problems, right? From a storyline perspective, from a programming perspective, you get WrestleMania. We're all still going to watch it, and I'm sure the at-home viewership will be probably bigger than normal. However, what you lose is obviously selling tickets, and not a few tickets, but we're talking, you know, depending upon the arena, anywhere from 50 to 100,000 tickets.
Right.
And so, you know, it is material. And I think we can all say, having watched the Raw, the SmackDown that took place in the Performance Center, I mean, look, it leaves something to be desired. I don't want to go overboard because every other sport is canceled, and I thank my lucky stars that wrestling is still going on. But certainly,
it was really cool that they held a new Royal Rumble in the middle of Raw this week.
I thought that was pretty awesome. I like how they keep saying something you've never seen before, and then they cut to something I've seen before for sure.
Well, you know, you brought up a point. We'll go back to what you said before, but while we're talking, I don't want to forget this point. Do we need Triple H to constantly open up every show just being like, this is what we do. It's our lifeblood.
Live
for this. I eat, breathe, and sleep. These guys are going to do what they do when they do it, and you need it, and that's it, and here is what it is. Like, it's always like, what are you doing, bro?
Well, that's a classic wrestling thing that we've got. So he did it once. And I may have been there the first time he did it.
You guys were there.
Incredible. It was awesome when he did it.
That was NXT TakeOver in Brooklyn.
Because he hadn't really like come out, you know? So like, I think that when he appeared, it was like, I am the maker.
Right. But I'm just saying, so they did it once. Goosebumps, legit got goosebumps. It was an incredible promo. It was awesome. So Triple H, I mean, look, man, I don't need to get into Triple H right now. You know how I feel about Triple H. My record on Triple H has been clear from the beginning. He's a top guy out of respect, but as far as top guys go, he's at the very, very bottom. Fantastic executive, barely moved the needle for me as a wrestler. He's just, at best, he's a concrete wall you could hit a tennis ball against. If you're great, you could have an okay match with him. And at worst, he's just Roman Reigns with more muscles who fucked the boss's daughter.
Well, that's a really harsh criticism of Triple H. But yeah, I mean, we're not talking about him as a wrestler, though. We're just talking about him at the beginning of TakeOvers being like...
Well, yeah. But that's because he's a corny dude. You have to understand, he's corny. That he loves wrestling so much that he has made it his life, and that's what makes him awesome. But as a guy... Guy's pretty corny. I mean, let's look at the stables. Degeneration X. In hindsight, they do not hold up. They're terrible. They're way worse than the NWO. Billy Gunn, fucking X-Pac, and Triple H. That's a bad stable, okay? Triple H, lame. Evolution, very lame at the time. The jean jacket with the leather fucking leather jacket, sledgehammer, and Lemmy mustache, lame. Throughout history, this guy sucked.
Okay. I don't even want to go there right now, but obviously some good merits there. I'm going to talk about Mania being canceled. We're saying that there's a lot of rumors out there. Arlen completely discarded the thinking it might be in MSG, and there's any kind of insurance. Right. So you think
that's nonsense?
It's the only reason I would think, like, in my brain, I'd be like, no, obviously no chance, but no chance in hell, as a matter of fact. But I am like, it's so hard to imagine WrestleMania. I mean, we've been to five of them in a row, and they're going to have those caliber of matches in the Performance Center with no one there. It's like, it makes me think Vince has a backup plan.
Right, right. That's reasonable, actually,
right?
Because it really is going to lose a lot of juice with no live crowd. I mean, I watched Raw this week.
Right.
There's a little, it is kind of cool when Edge did a promo. It just feels like it's Edge unplugged. You know, yeah. It just seems like a nice, intimate acoustic set. Yeah. It's an acoustic set. But I can't, but Mania, yeah, without the noise of the crowd, the pop, what are we doing it for? That sort of adds something to the experience. I mean, we talk about the many layers of what makes wrestling great. There's the product on screen. There's the drama behind the scenes. And the other thing is that the crowd really is a part of the show, too. So to take them out, it might not be worth it. So that's a good point by you, Dan. But I just think that the show must go on. Another tenet of Vince is the show must go on. Like, we're going to do Mania, and it's going to be terrible, and we're going to get through it, and then we're going to do SummerSlam. And that'll be where it's going to be, and that'll be a bigger show this year.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say about a potential Mania with nobody in the crowd, I think wall-to-wall across the board, that will be bad. Certainly worse than if there was a crowd. The only thing that might benefit from a completely empty arena, which is one of the most important things in Mania, by the way, Undertaker's entrance. I feel like if there's no crowd there, there's no buffer zone here. This guy could do anything. He could be flying through the chairs. He could be getting pulled by a team of sled horses down the aisles. There could be fire and pyro and darkness and bats. Like, there could be an arena full of essential staff of druids. The druids count as essential staff.
Absolutely. All the druids.
So Mania will suffer, but Taker's entrance could benefit from a totally empty arena.
He's going to have COVID-19 druids. I just have such a hard time believing that Vince is going to allow this to happen, but dude, a WrestleMania in the Performance Center. I know, look, it's a global pandemic, you know what I mean? But it also seems like the story's on track. Like, the pacing of these stories is these matches are happening April 5th. So I'm inclined to believe it.
Well, look, man, it's again, you said Vince McMahon, you said it's hard for you to think of him having a show to nobody. I'm saying it's hard for me to think of Vince as not just putting his head down, barreling through and say the show must go on. I mean, that's one of the tenets of the Carney lifestyle, that is wrestling. You just do the show.
Absolutely.
You book the date. So Also, in hindsight, though, there is some sort of perhaps cachet to be able to say, when you look back in all the WrestleManias throughout history.
There's a cachet to say.
There's a cachet to say that was the year where there was no fucking crowd. Like, do you remember that? Like, something, Matt, the other thing about wrestling.
Absolutely.
When it's at its worst, sometimes something amazing happens that you didn't even see coming. When things are looking great, sometimes it just falls flat on its face. You really got to expect the unexpected. You can't really bank on anything except for that wrestling is bad. And sometimes, no matter how bad it gets, something great happens. So,
yeah,
empty arena sounds terrible. But I think if any company can somehow make, even if it's just one incredible once-in-a-lifetime WrestleMania moment happen, because of this situation,
right,
it'll all be worth it. In 20 years, we're not going to be bummed that we didn't get to go. We're going to be like, yo, that was the year where they did it with no crowd. It was legendary.
Bray Wyatt. Let's talk about Bray Wyatt for a second. You heard of him?
Never heard of him.
All right, so SmackDown.
What about Wyndham Rotunda?
Absolutely. You can check out his, that's what his Instagram handle is.
That's what his name is.
He's still, But that's his, that's what his Instagram handle. His name is The Fiend. Okay, but so here's the deal. Bray Wyatt.
Wyndham Rotunda.
I sing his praises a lot on this podcast, and I just will just continue. I felt like his promo on Friday against Cena on SmackDown was so fucking money. But forget about the words of the promo. I would like to ask you your opinion on the booking next. But when I can't think of another performer, even with Edge cutting that promo this week, which I thought was a great promo, and Randy cut a great promo 2 weeks ago.
Edge Unplugged?
Edge Unplugged. When Bray, just like at the end of his promo to Cena, is like, let me in, John. Like, I'm like, I get fucking the chills, man. I'm like, this guy is such a great, powerful theater stage actor. And I still, to this day, don't think we've seen, I can't think of another performer who does it like he does it.
I mean, look, we live in a day and age where there's so much wrestling, there's so much content, there's so many performers, there's so many great performers that you really got to
be. Tremendous amount of performers.
There's a tremendous facility for performers.
Yeah.
And it's really the people who truly possess greatness that move the needle for me, right? So Bray Wyatt has had what I would call, for his talent level, probably the worst booking in the history of anyone in the company, right? But for his talent level, I mean, the ratio.
Right.
But he does something that no one else can do actively today across any indie, across any major. No one can do what this guy does.
Is it act?
He can act.
Yeah.
And by the way, he acts so good, man. He's just great. He could be an Oscar winner. He could win the Academy Award one day. I don't think he will,
right,
but I think he's got the chops. And, I mean, it's not just the acting, but the physicality in the ring. It matches the performance. He's the total package, man. He's the
Jamie total Lee. Speaking of the total package, Jamie Lee. My wife in the mix here. Jamie, did you find chicken?
No.
We're having trouble finding chicken.
Really? Got to get that plant-based lifestyle.
All right. Anyway, here's the thing. So I would like to I want to talk about the Cena Bray storyline, okay? Okay. So they're going with an angle that John Cena is the reason for the Fiend existing and the reason for Bray's shitty booking, honestly. And they're saying that from that loss at 30 at WrestleMania 30, Bray's been on a downward spiral since. And he said, I heard the voices in my head. I was tortured by the voices in my head until I listened. And then that's when I started feeling good. And that's when I think is when he started the Funhouse and the Fiend gimmick. Or not gimmick for him. It's a lifestyle choice.
He lives the gimmick.
Right, so where he gave into like that character, and it's all is from his loss. And then Cena's whole angle with why he accepted the challenge is because he thinks that Bray Wyatt's he's a guy who's in the way of younger talents. He's not the future. He's another guy who blames all his failures on Cena, you know? What do you think?
I mean, I don't know. I can't.
I guess here's my question. I'll make it more specific. How do you feel about Bray Wyatt's entire feed gimmick being based around his loss to John Cena?
That's fine writing. I got no problem with that. He just look the line of "I was tortured by the voices till I listened to him." That's a great line. I mean, that's awesome. Right, so that's great. I mean, it doesn't matter who the fuck it's about. It happens to be about Cena. It could be about his loss to the Undertaker. It could have been lost to anybody.
But Cena is a big – the thing about Cena is his stardom is so high. His star power is so large that you can take a whole character and make the Genesis story around him, you know?
Absolutely. Why? And you're it doesn't have to be Cena. It's just the top guy who's on all the mugs. You know, like they let that guy beat me even though I was better than him. I mean, it's the same thing as CM Punk, if you think about it. It's the same thing as the pipe bomb. It's not, it's Cena because it's Cena, but it doesn't have to be Cena. It's just, it's the company. It's the status quo. It's the way things are. It's the machine. It's like, this guy is the chosen one. All the kids buy his merch. So the company does whatever they, you know, whatever he wants, that type of vibe. Right. So yeah, it's Cena, and Cena's big enough to base that character around, but also being the top guy of the top company, whether it's Cena or Hulk Hogan or whoever, that's what this promo was about. It's about that keeping him down.
Right. I think it works. I think it works. The only thing I was saying on another episode, I don't like there's some stuff, people being like, oh, that's why it was good that Goldberg, he lost to Goldberg, because it's like part of this story. Like, he didn't need to lose to Goldberg.
No, they're going with the Cena Fiend storyline, which is a great storyline.
Yeah.
Separately, they got here by botching a completely different storyline. There was a completely different angle going, and they didn't know what to do with Fiend or Bray at WrestleMania. And this is the thing that I've said to you since the beginning of the Fiend. And I said, look, what I'm worried about here is he's a monster heel, and they're not going to know where to go with him. Whenever you're a monster heel, and you're just – when you're taking 5 curb stomps and winning your match and, like, kicking out, you are a monster heel, the likes of which we've never seen. Umaga comes to mind. Original Run Kane.
If you mean Umaga?
Umaga. Yeah, if your whole persona and presence is based upon the fact that you are a unstoppable monster and you will ravage everybody no matter what – where the fuck do you go? Because at some point you have to lose, especially if you're the champ. They got away with doing it with Andre the Giant. You know how they got away with doing it for Andre the Giant for 15 years? Making him an unbeatable heel. Well, not a heel, but an unbeatable monster character. They got away with making him unbeatable for legit 15 years because they never put a strap on him. Because if you have the title on a guy and this guy can't lose, that belt cannot get off of him for any reason, right? So I knew they were painting themselves into a corner with Bray Wyatt. I knew they weren't going to be able to – look, it's like when you watch a show like Sopranos or Lost and you're like, wow, this is such a cultural touchstone. There's no way they're going to know how to end this thing without it being fucking terrible, right? Well, that's what happened with The Fiend's title.
Right?
It was a masterpiece. It was a Sopranos. And just like that show, they couldn't figure out how to end this thing without it being terrible. So they did it in an awful way. But again, now they're – it's wrestling, right? So it's like, cool. We had to do the best move at the moment, which was like, we don't know what to do with this at WrestleMania. Let's just get rid of it. They got rid of the belt. And now they're like, hey, that never happened. Now you're
Harlan is back in the mix.
Angle Cena.
The F is going on here.
Harlan is back.
That was good sushi.
It was actually really good, but I got to tell you guys something pretty wild. True sign of the times. The delivery bag has my delivery guy's body temperature on it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Major developments.
Wow.
Let me ask you this. In New York City, we have the plastic bag ban, but plastic is also very sealing. It's very
Listen to me. Right now, all bets are off. I got a push notification today that alternate side of the street parking is off for the next two. I mean, everything's going haywire.
Who pushed that notification to you? Are you like a parking app?
No, I actually, just in case you're curious, you can be a part of these. You can text COVID to like, you know,
I'm not texting fucking COVID. He's not in my contact.
692-692. Here's the notification. Alternate side parking rules suspended March 18th to the 24th. Big news, but guess what? Payment at parking meters remains in effect.
Okay, so we're talking all right, let's jump over to a new topic. Let's talk about this Dolph Ziggler and Otis feud. I know Arlen, because you're a massive Otis guy. Are you prepared to make Otis Dojovic one of your guys yet?
Not yet. No.
No.
What? I thought he already was one of your guys.
No, he's in the on deck. I take it much more seriously than you guys do. You're loosey-goosey with this one of my guys business. You have to earn your way in. The two guys in the on-deck circle for me are Otis and Angel Garza.
Yeah. Angel Garza is also in one of my guys on-deck circle. But did you guys see Ziggler tweet out? He Instagrammed a pic with Mandy Rose.
Yeah. That's great. That's great work by him. He should be with Mandy Rose.
I think that's pretty fun.
I think he's out of her league, I got to be honest.
Yeah, a lot of people, but I do think it worked a lot of people. He was getting a lot of like death threats and shit on there. People were very
Who's getting work? They thought Otis had her in the bag.
This is what people thought, many people. Okay.
I got to tell you something, Dan.
Yeah.
New topic from me.
Yeah.
If you're going to start doing video podcasts, get your house in order, pal. What's on your couch?
This is not
every blanket
video
in your house.
This is not video. The blanket.
Why would you not distribute this as video if there's a video record? I don't understand what kind of a podcaster you are. It's ass backwards.
Okay. First off, Arlen, don't come on the podcast.
Give me the explanation. Give me the explanation.
Secondly,
you have a video recording.
I'm positive that you are the worst boss of all time. I'm 100% positive.
There's ins and outs and what have yous. They got to work out some tech aspects.
I mean, every excuse. Dan's got every, and none of them are real. It doesn't even make sense. Direct question.
If you have
this as a video, why would you not put this on YouTube? Tell me why.
We can put it on YouTube, but the reason my couch is covered is because it is raining here a bunch, and I have two dogs, and I have a brand new couch, so I cover the couch.
The other reason it's covered is because it's been covered for 2 years. That's the second reason.
Before Dan had either one of those.
The couch is brand new. Okay, the couch is brand new. Secondly, we were recording the pod. Last second, you wanted to switch to Zoom. And and you come in, you only criticize, and you're a piece of shit is what you are. Okay?
Listen, man. First of all, here are the facts. You were trying to record a phone call. It sounded terrible. Okay. Number one, it sounds better now. Number two, you now have a video of this that you can post on YouTube. I mean, truly a guy who knows nothing about podcasting 5 years into this.
Okay. Look, guys, I know this is a nice heated topic of debate between who knows nothing about podcasting and who knows everything.
Well, it's because Arlen knows nothing about wrestling, so that's the only thing he can. add. But so
the thing is, I know everything about wrestling and about podcasting. So what I'm going to say is, this is becoming sort of an iffy Nawadawe situation where it's a colossal waste of my time. So let's move on from this conversation.
Absolutely.
And get into. I'd love to talk about this Ghost Raw that we saw.
Absolutely, great peacekeeper.
Where I was going, I went to Otis to be nice to Arlen because I know he's an Otis mark. But it's fine. Let's move off. Let's talk about Taker's look on Raw. Taker,
you're going to go right. I mean, that's the main event, man. You're going right to that.
Well, let's talk about Stone Cold's promo first. Then we'll get to the Taker look after.
Yeah.
You guys don't want to talk about Rumble again?
No, we already talked about Rumble. Stone Cold's promo. What did you guys think about it?
I thought Stone Cold's promo was super weird.
I think they're all struggling. I mean, he went to four corners. There's no one in the arena. You know, I mean, obviously it's awkward to be just, it's just you and a cameraman. There's no feedback. I mean, I felt like that was like doing stand up in an empty room. It's like almost an impossibility.
Yeah. Well, Edge did a promo. I thought Edge's promo was sick. It was Adam Copeland unplugged at the Performance Center. It was great.
Edge's promo was fantastic. I loved it. Stone Cold, look, here's the deal. I loved it. Stone Cold is so charismatic, and it's just great to see him. Like, that's my thought, is that I thought that it was fun to see him. I did think this was real. The rating thing with Byron was very unnecessary, weird, and not really properly set up. Like, I was kind of confused by it.
I have a question for you, Dan, because you had made a point to me a long time ago about The Rock, where he hit some kind of an era where he was like, ironic rock, or he was kind of post rock.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like Stone Cold.
Hollywood rock. We had third person rock. And then once he started kind of breaking the wall, hitting into fourth wall rock, when he started being like, all right, I'm a character. He started smiling and not just coming out dead serious, talking about how expensive his clothes are. We kind of lost some of that. But I do think, you know, Stone Cold was having fun. It was an empty arena. It was fine. I thought Byron was like, I don't know, like what he was rating his jokes. It was, I don't know.
Well, Byron also gave it a very enthusiastic, oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Look, man, there's a tide coming here.
Yeah.
And it's that Stone Cold, when you look back on this guy, I don't know, man. I mean, this was one of the stupidest promos I've ever seen. This 316-day shit was really not entertaining.
I thought it was
terrible.
It was terrible. It was weird. Clearly, they handed him those cards. Gabe told him the thing, and then he went out there. I'm not even holding it against him.
Yeah, but you know what? I just wasn't interested. He dropped a couple of whats. I mean, I was talking about this with Velveteen's little cousin. The what chant is perhaps.
Yeah, but it doesn't work in an empty arena.
No.
It doesn't work in a full arena.
Doesn't work in an empty arena. It's crowd feedback.
Wait, to be fair, I thought his whats were pretty funny because he was like, no one can respond.
There was nothing funny about this entire thing. It was so juvenile. It sounded like a Jeff Foxworthy routine. He's like, it might be 316 day. If you give your boss a kick in the stomach, it might be 316 day. It was hacky, terrible nonsense.
Agree.
And I don't think – and you come in here and say you love it just because it's Stone Cold. This guy is getting –
yeah, that's where I'm at. This
guy is getting a bye.
That's where I'm at.
By the way, this guy's chugging IPAs. There is nothing cool or badass about chugging a fucking IPA, all right? The fact that his beer is an IPA also is kind of rubbing me the wrong way.
I hate IPAs.
It's a weird choice.
Arlen's an IPA guy probably, right? Arlen, you got to be an IPA guy.
I'm gonna quote Mike Goldstein here. He drinks IPAs because it has higher alcohol content. It just gets you drunk faster at the same value.
Yeah.
Stout and Belgian beers both have higher alcohol content than that, so that's a bad argument.
But I just want to I got to call you out, Trebs, because let's take it at face value. Let's just say it sucked, right? You're sort of calling Stone Cold's reputation into question here. You're like, when we look back, like, there's nothing that he's going to do or that's going to happen at this point that is ever going to alter the fact that he's on the Mount Rushmore, man. I mean, he did enough in a tight window that it doesn't matter what he does now. He can suck all he wants.
Look, I'm saying I can't really fathom taking him out of not just the Mount Rushmore, but the number one slot. This guy is still my number one wrestler of all time. I don't even like the guy. I'm just saying every time I see him, I'm like, I don't like this, man.
I like any stunner. I got to see a stunner on a Raw, and I got to watch the Royal Rumble again.
Tell you something. He should have gave Becky a stunner. That would have been fucking cool. He was like, hey, last time I saw you, you gave me a stunner. And she's like, oh, well, I'm just here to celebrate. He should have gave her a stunner right back. It would have been amazing. No one looks bad. No one looks weak. It's actually kind of funny because he has a history of domestic abuse.
Okay. Okay. Well, look, I don't condone that statement at all, but here's what I'll say.
I don't think you have to condone the statement. It's a factual statement. I mean,
it would be funny because he has a history of
that.
Funny like, oh, isn't that funny? Like, oh, that's funny. Not like I'd be laughing.
But here's what I'll say. I think that the reason I gave it a pass is like, this is what makes WWE shit is they over script. Now, Stone Cold came out the last time he came back, I don't know what that was for, but the last time he came back, he kind of just went in ring and just talked about nothing. And I loved it. He just rambled. I like when he's like, I got a new pickup podcast. Truck. Yeah, absolutely. Like that. I like it. I like the way he sounds. I would make my phone sound like, can I make Siri talk to me like Stone Cold? That's what I want. I like the way he sounds. But this segment felt like Vince was like, we got to write him a segment. And so it was like, yeah, whatever. This is dumb.
I'm just saying, keep a careful eye on every time you see Stone Cold do something anymore.
Yeah.
You want it to be good, so you think it's good. It's mostly just like,
I didn't think it was good. It's just he's just kidding. Do it.
He is clearly on a relative basis of great wrestlers has had the worst post wrestling career by a mile.
But look, I mean, look again. I don't want to call his legacy into question. That's not what this is about. But the what chant is one of the worst things to happen to wrestling. he had about two or three hot years, and then otherwise it was two-man power trip. It was being buddies with Vince. It was a bunch of shit that kind of sucked, okay? And but then
those two or three hot years, they were the hottest. I know, but people knocked it. It was white hot, baby.
People knocked The Rock for having a short career. Stone Cold's career was even shorter, if you ask me. Even not before he became the number one guy. I mean, obviously his career in ECW and WCW and around the world before that is longer. But as far as, like, dominance and greatness, it's shorter than The Rock's, or at least the same size. He took his ball and he went home because he didn't want to lose to Brock Lesnar. What kind of motherfucker does something like that? That shows no respect for the business. I'm just saying, I'm not ready to demote him out of the number one spot, but the people are talking on the streets. I got my ears to the streets. I'm the kink master. I'm the street whisperer. I know what the people are saying.
I mean,
you get a lot of unusual nicknames when combined. I'll say that.
Well, I will say that. I watched WrestleMania 17 on the.
That's going to be the pinnacle. That's going to be the good times.
And the second you watch that, you'll just go back when you just see him in all his glory. Even just the way the guy moves, walking down to the song, walking down the ramp. And I don't think anybody's got to walk like that.
Well, Dan, it's unfair. You know that Jimmy Johnston composed the song with the tempo to match Stone Cold's pace.
Absolutely.
Walk and then set the song.
One of the greatest musicians of all time.
Yeah, but it's not even that. It's the way he moves his head. Yeah,
the Grammy Awards have been snubbing Jimmy Johnston.
Yes, without a doubt.
Well, it's Jimmy Johnston and then Prince, as far as I'm concerned.
He's better than Prince.
Yeah, I go Jimmy first and then Prince. It's close, but I go Jimmy.
I mean, they've had the same. You know who has had the most hits of all time? Hall and Oates, the Beatles, and Jimmy Johnston.
Wait, this is a great topic. Arlen, we talked about this. You know, like at the end of 2019, it gives you your like most listened to songs?
Yeah.
I believe you posted yours, and then it made me look at mine. Did you have any wrestling on yours?
Yeah, I did.
what did you have?
Well, no. My top five artists of the year was Dave Matthews Band, and then it was Lady Gaga and Brad and what's Bounce his name? Dave.
Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper.
Because you listen to The Shallow so many times.
Too many times. I bought the T-shirt. I have a Brad Cooper shirt.
My number two song last year was The Fiend, The Let Me In song. It was my number two.
I've had Jericho's song on repeat.
Well, but that's
wow, what a year.
My playlist for the gym.
You had Judas on your mind? Judas, you had Judas in your mind?
The song's just called Judas.
Yeah. Of course I know what it is, bro. Everybody's listening to Judas. Shebs, what do you got to say about Judas?
Go ahead, Shebs.
My workout playlist when I go to gym is just Judas by Sauce. It's a one-song playlist on repeat for the past 3 months.
I'm not going to lie. I listen to it on repeat.
Yeah.
You have to. That song cannot be taken one at a time. You got to take that thing in chunks.
Let's talk in chunks. Let's talk about Judas for a second, because it made me think about wrestling songs that we talked about this morning, Shebs, but not recorded. We got to get this down. And that gives you a little insight into what our combos are like. But this morning I was saying, here's a wrestling
song. The only difference is sometimes the mic's on and sometimes the mic's off. But we're always arguing and talking about wrestling.
Yo, there's four songs that are probably four of my favorite songs. And I can't tell now. I couldn't tell if they're legitimately good or bad. Right?
Right.
One is Judas.
Right.
That song is legitimately good. I've watched the music video multiple times.
You mean the Jericho entrance video?
Yeah, when he's like,
No. It has a music video. Yeah,
where he's like, I'm becoming. All right, Judas. Then Randy Orton, I Hear Voices, song I just love, especially the
acoustic. No, the remix of that. Tell your wife I said hello, Dan.
Jamie's in the back.
Yeah.
Superman video. Jamie's in the back. All right. And then I Walk Along.
Wait. I want to be clear. You're saying I Hear Voices official or acoustic?
Both. It depends on how my mood. You know what I mean? If I'm looking to slay, or I'm looking to cry. And then Edge song. And I'm so picky about the Edge song. Sometimes I'm driving to the gym. The one on Spotify is not the one that he enters to. It's got these shit drums up top. The vocals are redubbed. I go to YouTube and I play.
Spotify is terrible for wrestling.
Is it?
Terrible for wrestling music. Terrible for mixtapes. If you want to hear, like, because I'm the street whisperer, I got my ears to the streets.
And also you're the kink master.
Yeah,
I'm the kink master. But I'm saying, I know a great mixtape. I mean, you know, I'm trying to find the Lupe Fiasco "Friend of the People" mixtape. It doesn't exist on Spotify or any of these services. Like, really great mixtapes. How about the one, the Meter Maid Sufjan one? I mean, you can't find this anywhere on these services.
I got to tell you, the Kink Master and the Street Whisperer, it sounds like a pimp you go to when you want, like, really unorthodox treats.
Well, yeah. You see what I'm wearing?
If you've got exotic tastes.
Well, you know, I am an acquired taste, so.
So, all right, are you saying that, can I play the Randy Orton theme song for a random person and then be like, I like this song?
Here's what I'm saying. There's a genre of music that I call gym music, okay? It's early aughts, rap rock, or nu metal, okay? It's Stained, Linkin Park, POD, stuff like that, okay? Some bands are still making music like that, like Downstate, okay? But it's very much a sound of the early aughts, okay? So some people just don't like that genre of music. They're not going to like it. I don't like jazz, right? But I could listen to, like, one of the greatest jazz musicians of all time, like a Miles Davis track or something, right? If you don't like this genre, you're not going to like the Randy Orton song.
Yeah.
Okay. You will maybe like Linkin Park, because Linkin Park is the greatest artist of this genre. They've actually made great songs, sort of irrespective of genre, within the genre. But the genre itself is pretty much hated by most people. Okay. Or at least most people we know. But, like, Metalingus, you know, that song that
on this day.
That is a really good song, but I don't think it's as good as any song by Linkin Park. And I don't think it's as good as Judas by Fozzy. I think Judas by Fozzy is a great song. The Metal Linkin song.
I got on my steering wheel, this is not like an amazing feature or anything, but you got that, like, restart. You know, you could start the track over. So after the drums hit, it's like, blah, 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 on this day, I'll just start it again. I just like the beginning.
Right. Of course. All right.
I have a random question / fact. Did you guys know System of a Down, that everyone in that band is Armenian?
Yes, and a lot of their songs are about the Armenian genocide. No,
the singer is...
But did you know that all of them are Armenian?
Yeah, they're all Armenian. You could tell because all their names end in I-A-N. That's the official mark of the Armenian. If a last name ends in I-A-N, they're an Armenian.
I wasn't getting into the drummer's last name.
He's Lebanese. The singer is Lebanese, no?
I believe it's pronounced Lebanese.
They're Armenian.
Okay. Let's
talk about the Armenian genocide. They are very much an Armenian band. And right, really,
who knew?
I didn't know that.
Any Armenian you talk to, they could be a classically trained pianist. They could be 7 years old. They could be a 99-year-old grandfather. They all love System of a Down.
Suey.
It's a classic Shebs generalization. That's a Trump statement right there. Every Armenian, doesn't matter who you talk to, young or old, their favorite band is System of a Down.
What you guys always forget, though, is that I've got my ears to the streets.
How can we forget? You told us 5 minutes ago.
It would be impossible to forget.
With any semblance of diversity here, I'm actually Middle Eastern. I'm actually of foreign parents, okay? I go in a cab and the guy's from Georgia or Uzbekistan. He's talking to me like I'm from Uzbekistan. I know the people. I know Armenians. I work with Armenians. We're all in the same boat here. And when you're one of us, you know the differences. And I'm telling you, yeah. Armenians love System of a Down.
All right, let's hit the two more topics and get out of here, all right? Jeff Hardy's back tattoo. Did you see it?
There's no way, by the way, there's only two more topics because
more because I'm leaving.
We haven't talked about Asuka and we haven't talked about Taker.
I'm talking about Jeff and Taker and then I'm out. Jeff Hardy's back tattoo. Honestly, just Google Ben Affleck's back tattoo. That's a way bigger story forever.
By the way, Ben Affleck, I feel like and was like, I was on a bender. It was a bad decision. And it's like, yeah, dude, that was your whole back.
Jeff Hardy's cool, but it's Jeff Hardy.
It's like, also Jeff Hardy. Like, right, what does it matter?
Exactly.
He's doing metal sculptures in North Carolina. Who cares?
Right.
If you bring up tattoos, Shebs no sells you and deflects you over to Ben Affleck.
Well, yeah, because I'm trying to protect my man Cody from the inevitable Cody's neck tattoo conversation, which I'm not yet prepared to defend. I haven't worked out my strategy yet.
You're trying to justify it. It's like Cody was doing such great work, and then all of a sudden hits you with a real curveball.
But you know what? It is like Ben Affleck, who also had a major comeback, went on an incredible run, and then just to test the limits of it was like, let me see if I could beat Batman. It's like when you're doing too well, you kind of want to test the boundaries of what's possible. Well, did it with that neck tattoo.
It's self-destructive behavior.
It's called ultimate validation. When you get ultimate validation, you don't think
keep
you
pushing
can come
it. Up with an idea. You keep pushing it.
Any idea in your head you assume is that's an A+ because you've just been supremely validated by
that's
you.
Why Kanye's building our next great city.
Kanyetopolis?
No, you know he's working on like a urban planning. He's gonna build a village.
A complete fucking disaster. The guy's an idiot.
Speaking of complete disasters, Undertaker was in an empty arena.
Can we talk about Asuka? Can we talk about Asuka, please?
For Asuka.
You guys won't this Taker thing, you guys, I love it. You're pushing it all the way to the end.
It's the main event.
Okay.
Arlen, you know why you're so blown away by this Taker look?
Yeah.
Cause you don't remember when Big Show had that same haircut.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. The least of my worries is that haircut. I'd like to start with the girdle.
Well, okay. that's just his classic.
No, but here's the thing. If you
singlet just pulled down, right?
No, but if you were worried about your girdle, why wouldn't you just come out like with a singlet pulled down? Why would you wear the lip of spandex just wrapped around your belly?
I mean, here's the thing, Arlen. You have to take this to the unitary executive theory, okay? Which is like, if Taker's doing it, then it's right and it's cool, right? It's like, if he's doing it, it's not a girdle. It's the singlet down, and that's actually a cool thing to do. It's fine because it's Taker.
So ipso facto, you thought Taker looked awesome.
Let me tell you something. On the spectrum of Taker looks, this one does not hashtag move the needle for me, the needle mover. I've seen this guy look so much fucking worse.
Wow, the needle mover.
That's great. When have you seen him look worse? He looked like a woman disguised as a man. I mean, there's so much.
I thought he looked awesome.
Did you?
Yeah, I thought he looked awesome.
Come on. I don't sound so crazy now.
He looked awesome. I see the disaster.
The dye job on his eyebrows alone was terrifying.
Arlen, it's like you don't even know what wrestlers are.
Yeah.
Of course he's going to be wearing a girdle. Of course he's going to do it in a way that makes it look like it's some sort of muscle man activity. Of course he's going to have a shitty dye job on his hair, eyebrows, and probably his butthole hair. It's the fucking Undertaker. He's a wrestler. The guy's a redhead. He's a natural redhead, okay? The guy has a terrible
dye job. He's not a redhead anymore.
Depends who you talk to.
Hey folks. But I think that I like the braid.
That tight shit braid down the side.
But it was like Stevie Wonder. It starts in that Heyman zone. I don't think the cap was supposed to come off.
Stevie Wonder has 38 of those per square inch on his head. Taker has just the one.
It's like he's like American badass kind of like a little bit.
He's the retired American badass.
But can you actually believe it's like, Taker came out, he beat up Gallows and Anderson. I had fun with it. The weirdest thing about the segment I thought was Taker comes out and like he gets in the ring.
The table
and then they like faded to commercial. They did like a Star Wars swipe fade to commercial. It was like awkward. I rewinded back to be like, did I skip ahead or did this go to commercial?
Hit fade and go on my TV.
He literally like the mic went under the table. He was like
he's trying to find it.
He couldn't find the mic. So then Vince was probably like, go to commercial. He looks like an asshole. Go to commercial. Like,
quick, fade very slowly to commercial. I want to slow fade to commercial.
And then it looked good. But the thing is, like, it's kind of crazy. AJ is a guy who people consider old. And his whole angle is calling Undertaker old. And getting this match, Arlen, you missed this part of this conversation, but I just have such a hard time believing that this match is actually happening in an empty performance center. Like, it just seems – I'm like, man, you really think Taker's going to wrestle on that? Like, is he – you know what I mean?
Well, I also feel like Taker's whole thing is the entrance. That's what I was saying. Like, I said to you – you got to see Taker in an empty. There's something about Taker in an empty arena that doesn't make sense. You know, it was. I think that was part of the Stone Cold problem too. It's like if you're not.
He's not summoned. He's not summoned by the crowd.
A main roster wrestler coming for a special event that has no one there.
Yeah.
Is a wild thing. It's very awkward. It's uncomfortable.
Mark my words. The Taker entrance. If it's
I will mark Callaway your words.
Mark Callis, my words.
Callis.
That entrance may be the only thing on the whole card that's actually augmented and bolstered by the fact that they're in a totally empty arena. I think all bets are off. They could do anything in there.
What is this? What does this signify?
This is my point now. It's like a too sweet point.
That's the kink master and the street whisperer.
Do you hear my words, though? What I'm saying is that just think about the possibilities, endless possibilities. If they're not sort of governed by there's other people and you can't use this area and that area,
right.
There's no telling what kind of theatrics they're going to need to shove into that entrance to make this actually cool. And Undertaker is known as the greatest enterer. He's the greatest pure enterer in the WWE history.
He certainly got a hell of an entrance.
Yeah. I mean, it just we'll see. It's crazy. It's like, do you think they get the full paychecks to do a WrestleMania in the PC?
I think the under over how many druids will be in that entrance.
Right.
I'm setting at 36, double high, mark my words.
Well, I think Taker look cool. I was a little bummed that we didn't get more of the like wife angle. I imagine she probably doesn't want to travel, but they set up a whole thing about like Michelle McCool is the problems. Like she, the whole angle they set up is based around Michelle McCool being the problem. She keeps forcing Undertaker to wrestle. That's why he didn't retire 10 years ago. That's what they established. It's like, I know why you keep wrestling and she wants you dead and I'm going to help her out. You know what I mean?
So wrestling logic is always the best. It's like, yeah. All right, let's start from the end and work our way backwards to how we make this make sense.
But the cool thing is AJ said in that promo, he was like, I'm going to make sure in that ring you're dead. And they cut that out of all the packages they were showing for it. Like, maybe it's just too harsh for the package.
Well, I think it's okay if you say it's the Undertaker because the guy literally dies six times a year. Like, the guy's gimmick is like a dead man. So, but if you said that to, like, you know, Rollins or like Cedric Alexander, it'd be like, whoa, hey, cool, man. That's
Can I point out one difference between the Big Show's hairstyle and Taker's interpretation of it?
You may.
I don't know if you noticed, but Taker also had, he sort of shaved the nether regions.
He raised the roof a little bit.
I mean, which is wild because it's like, if you got something that's heading back this way, it's receding from the front, why are you going to start receding it from the other side as well? He has a small visor of hair at this point.
That's actually how the Nazis wound up losing the campaign in Europe, because they had a front on the west and then they started
fighting a battle on too many fronts.
They had two fronts, they were spread too thin, and I think we're all very worried for the Undertaker's hair, aka the Third Reich. Look, the Undertaker's going to make an entrance. I'm about to make an exit. I bid you guys adieu.
I think we hit everything. Thank you, Shebs. It was good to talk to you, the Kink Master. Maybe we'll hear from you tomorrow night. He looks like Buffalo Bill.
Tough look.
And I was glad to hear both of your guys' perspectives on this Adam Letterman and Hassan situation, which frankly I was surprised by where you guys landed here. And I will address it. I will address Adam Letterman directly on the Twitch stream tomorrow night during AEW and NXT at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Well, it's on Wednesday when this comes out. So I'll give the date because we don't even know what the dates are anymore. We don't know what day of the week it is. We're all in quarantine. But Wednesday, March 18th, 5 p.m. when AEW and NXT go on the air, my Twitch stream, twitch.tv/DanBlackAttack. We will be talking about the Adam Letterman situation, and I will address Calmania, and we'll watch AEW and NXT, and we'll have a blast, and we'll head into this new era of the podcast and of life, right? Right, Arlen?
All right.
You look like you had something to say. But, guys, more content coming, like I said, at the top of the episode. We're going to be posting a schedule of stuff that's coming out. I'm going to be hit me up on that Twitch stream. More watch along parties. We watched pay per view already. A lot more stuff to come. Stay tuned. We're going to make sure that we are all socially distant, but only physically, right?
We're emotional. I mean, I'm as emotionally connected to you as I've ever been.
Absolutely, which is to say not much. Everybody, listen to that. Check out bonus episodes on Patreon, and thank you for supporting the show. And everybody, stay safe, stay inside, and keep watching wrestling. Kisses. Comedians
of wrestling. I listen up Wednesday. When I go to work.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.